Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. I knew it was going to be a good week. I knew this was going to be a fun week. Ooh, that felt good. That felt real good last night.
I got the Warriors going 82 and 17.
Let the man get to his car.
82-0, bro.
Will you please let the man get to the
82
elevator?
82-0 is on the table.
Will you start taking shots at him?
No shots. I got the Warriors going 67 and 19. I love the goo.
Who doesn't?
82-0 is on the table.
I got the Giants going 82 and 75.
Yeah.
0-82
no,
is not on the table.
I'll tell you what I got.
Mm-hmm.
I have an even more excited outlook than I had yesterday, and I think that's what we would love to hear from you Warrior fans. Can we load this up right now and talk to y'all? We got an hour till Greg Cosell comes on. So you woke up yesterday thinking what about the Warriors, and then you woke up today thinking what about the Warriors? Like, what sort of happened in those 24 hours now that you've watched one game? Well, acknowledge it's just one game, which is why my biggest takeaway, my biggest excitement about what happened last night, Dibs, was what happened after the game. And I believe that it actually leads to me needing to look at you and take an L.
Oh, boy.
I got to take one.
Okay.
Because what I saw after the game was the Warriors' culture winning out through a situation that I felt very, very worried about in terms of its complexities, which was all of the offseason drama with Jonathan Kuminga. But it goes way, way deeper than that. I would challenge anybody to find me, forget the NBA, find me a team in professional sports that one game into its season, you're gonna get Buddy Hield and Jimmy Butler and their performance that they always have after the
Turns
game.
Turns out Buddy hates Jimmy.
Hates him. So you get Buddy hates Jimmy. You get Jonathan Kuminga referring to himself as a sponge. You get Jimmy Butler saying, yeah, me and Jonathan, we've been hanging out. We've been hanging out before practice, after practice. I know how good he can be. I know how good he wants to be. We're trying to explain to him what he needs in order to achieve that greatness. You have Steve Kerr and Jonathan, I think, striking new chords about one another. You have Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler putting a bet on the table and then making it public that you're going to outshoot Steph Curry from the free throw line. You have Steph Curry being made aware of this bet for the first time and telling his teammate, you got no chance to beat me. Do you understand the sideshow that came after the show? The Warriors need to rename themselves the After Party. This thing is just as entertaining as the game. And there's a connectivity to what you're seeing from this team that I have a hard time believing is not going to show up in the standings. This group is really, really on the same page. And through all of the drama of the offseason, I really had my doubts that at least this quickly they would be able to capture that vibe, knowing that there was going to be all of these Kuminga questions after every game. And I was told directly by people with the Warriors, don't you worry about it. The culture here is going to swallow that up and spit it out, and it'll be fine. We're a game in. Anything can happen. This could change.
Yep.
But right now, this is exactly how you want it to look and feel.
The culture has, through one game, swallowed that up and spit it out. You've got Jimmy talking about mentoring J.K., J.K. talking about how I just want to do the right thing. Jimmy and Buddy with a new level of mutual hatred. And Buddy hates him. And ha, ha, ha. And I really love Jimmy. And Draymond Green with a triple single. And he's a plus 20 in the plus minus. And, oh, by the way, Steph was mostly not needed until he hit a 30-footer.
Think of what you just said.
Steph Curry was mostly not needed.
Not needed.
I mean, Steph was fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was just whatever.
Like Steph Curry was, he played basketball. Yeah, yeah. Steph Curry plays basketball tonight. Shout out Doc Pandya. And then he hit a 30-footer, and he didn't go night-night, but they cut to Guy Santos on the bench, and Guy hit the night-night, and it's like, I get it, Steph. It's game one. You don't want to go to that too early. But
he threatened it. Did you see that?
He kind of like leaned down.
He pulled his hands up, but only to like chest level.
Sure.
He looked at the crowd, and he pulled the hands up like, I'm going to do it. And he's like, maybe it's a little too early to do it.
It's too early.
I tell you
and
what.
And then Guy did it on the bench.
Splash did it, by the way, as well.
I, in my living room with the towel on my shoulder, as I took a pause from my dishes, and, you know, baby girls upstairs, and my wife had gone to bed, I actually hit the night-night. And I looked at the TV. I'm like, yeah, Steph, me. Oh, no. It's me and Guy. It's me and Guy doing the night-night. Not Steph.
Hey, Dibs.
Yeah. Hey, Dibs, your night-night. I like your night-night because I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that moment was like, all right, Steph. Oh, wait. Steph Curry does play basketball tonight. Not that he wasn't bad.
No,
he was good enough. He was not, like, elite Steph, but the rest of them were so good. And Jimmy... not Jimmy Buckets, but Jimmy Free Throw.
Man.
Maybe we'll call him Jimmy 15-footer.
Jimmy was phenomenal last night.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
I do want to say this, and I don't want to like get the show bogged down into this take.
This is going to be about the refs, isn't it?
It's not about the refs. That first half was absolutely unwatchable. It was awful on both sides. You had mutual flopping. You had Draymond getting a tee from the bench.
Yep.
You had too many whistles. You had a lot of turnovers. It was ugly, and I get it. These guys are all like coming out of the preseason, but for me, that first half was, oh my God, is this what we've waited all these months for?
Well,
that first half was mostly unwatchable.
You're right. It's the first half.
Unwatchable.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, man. Like everybody is rusty. Like, yeah, it was a sloppy deal. And I didn't love a lot of the calls. I didn't love a lot. I mean that in both directions. Like a lot of times I thought, you know, the Warriors would get called for a foul and you're like, I'm not a foul.
Nope.
And then the Warriors go to the other end and the foul would get called and you're like, nobody touched him.
Nope.
Like, you know what I mean? And so I'm going to hope that this isn't what most games are going to look like. And I mean that from the entire group. A little wobbly out of the gate, but it is out of the gate. And the second half certainly looked better, and sometimes it's going to be like that. Sometimes it's going to be like that. There was only one time where I think Warrior fans wanted to stand up out of their chair and be offended, and when games get like that, where tensions go up and technicals are happening and the officials are having a hard time keeping control of it, and then you get a player like Marcus Smart,
oh boy,
who looks like, whether he was or not, but does something where he looks like he's either trying to intentionally injure a star or at least being cavalier about it, that's gonna get everybody going. And I thought that was the moment when the officials grabbed control of the game. That was the moment where they're like, no, we're not just like, you're not fooling us. We're going to call it and we're going to go to the review. And now we're going to tap you for a flagrant. And that was at that point that I think Marcus got word like, dude, we're not doing this. We're not doing this tonight. And then it got better from there. Whole thing got better from
it
there.
It got better. And, you know, you got into that third quarter flow and they started to actually play basketball. But that first half, so many fouls, so many turnovers. And that's where we could talk about Jonathan Kuminga first half, second half. I think that JK in the first half was a little bit, he was pressing a little bit. He was a little sloppy. They all were sloppy. Yep. Draymond Green had four turnovers and there were, I think, 27 total turnovers. That first half was just patently ugly. And I do like what you said about, you know, the locker room and they come out and I don't know if they actually script their first five plays like Shanahan, but
I don't know.
The opening play was, all right, JK, boom, pop open, get a three. And then the next play, he goes ahead and slips the screen and he gets a bounce pass and a layup. It felt like they wanted to get JK a couple of comfortable looks in the second half to get him going.
Here's Steve Kerr on that area of the game that you're talking about with some general comments about Jonathan Kuminga, who all in all, again, the second half was a chef's kiss. I thought he was just unbelievable in the second half. Here's what Steve Kerr said.
I think he's really, really matured. You know, he's had a great camp. We've had some really good conversations. I think he has a better understanding of, you know, what we need. He saw in the first half, he took a couple of tough mid-range fadeaways that we don't want. He immediately held up his hand. He realized, you know, that was not the shot. He had, you know, a couple turnovers where he drove into traffic. And second half starts, and, you know, the whole talk at halftime was, let's use Steph Curry. Let's use his movement and put pressure on the defense, because we didn't do that in the first half. And Jonathan, the first few plays of the third quarter, it was beautiful. He screened for Steph, slipped to the rim. Draymond got him a bucket. We ran our split cut stuff. They both went with Steph. He hit the wide open three. I think he just has a better sense of what's needed now compared to past years.
And I mean, when I hear him say that, I don't know that you would call that a script, because every play has multiple options.
Yep.
It's just like when people go, I can't believe Kyle Shanahan didn't dial up more for Juwan Jennings. It's like, wait a minute, you drop back to pass and there's five options going on out on the field, and then you see what the defense does and then you grab what the defense allows you to do. I think basketball, no different. But they ran some plays. Some of those plays went JK's way. He absolutely did. Everybody on the floor did exactly what you wanted them to do. They were reading the defense. They were effective. They were smart with the ball. And they went out and turned a one-point lead into a double-digit lead literally before a lot of people got back from the restroom. Great. That's where they won the game, was right there in that four-minute stretch.
Yeah, and that slip cut that he's talking about is the play that I'm going to highlight, where I do think that that was a scripted play, and we can ask Steve about that. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but Kuminga comes up to set a screen for Steph, which is normally like either Steph fades it or he comes off the screen, and Steph gets the ball. But Draymond immediately is looking right at JK for the bounce pass, and he threads it right to him, and right up, bank it in. That's a bucket, and that was a classic JK move right there.
888-957-9570. What stood out? What grabbed you? For me, it was the connectivity of everything you heard all of these Warriors say after the game, maybe even more so than the game itself. But I gotta think for some of you, the optimism rises a little bit when you see how effective this group was, combined with the fact that there's some built-in acquisitions coming. Moses Moody's coming. DeAnthony Melton is coming. Sure, throw Seth Curry into this as well. So 888-957-9570 on what your number one takeaway was after getting a look at the 2025-26 Warriors for the first time. It is Warrior Wednesday, and that's brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. We're also sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Steve Kerr is at 5. Greg Cosell is at 3:15. We are taking your first reaction phone calls on the Warriors right now. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Curry lost the handle, bounce pass to Draymond. Draymond penetrates over to Butler. Butler for three, left wing. Bounce, no good. Kuminga the rebound. Back to Butler. Fresh 14 on the clock. Butler dribbles in. Pump fake. Goes up, throws to Payton in the near corner. Out to Curry with five on the shot clock. Deep three. Got it! And Laker fans shaking their head. Strike to head to the exits. It's 117-107. Warriors, 48 seconds to go.
Dub Nation, it's Stephen Curry. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bye-bye, Laker fans.
Night-night.
I hope you enjoyed your night. And I hope that you drove home safely.
And they're heading for the exits, which I shouldn't have to tell you because they always head for the exits.
At some point. Sometimes a little earlier than later.
That's right. Yep.
They weren't liking it late.
No.
I don't think they were liking it early either.
Ultimately, where they go is a destination sensation. Cha-ching!
Cha-ching!
And you've been down there, like traffic, where...
I've been down there. It used to be my office, for crying out loud.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for you, you had to do post-game, most likely, or...
Yes.
So you didn't have the same ability to, like, oh, boy, okay, they're up 14 with 4 minutes to go. We're leaving. And I was reminded... of one of my worst exoduses ever. I talked to a guy named Joe Ford earlier this week. He's going in the Marin Athletic Foundation Hall of Fame, and he reminded me that we bumped into each other at the pick of the stick game. And I was like, oh, yeah. I left that thing early. I left that S early, and as I'm walking out of Candlestick, last game ever at Candlestick.
That's one of your worst maneuvers ever.
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 No, without a doubt. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, yeah, I'm beating traffic. And then you hear the,
Oh my God.
And I stop, and you have that moment of like, oh, I'm gonna go back. And it's like, dude, I'm halfway across the A lot.
The play's over.
It's over,
it's
dog.
Over, dude.
And so you get home and you look at it, and it's like, oh, not only was it a pick six, but Navarro Bowman, last game ever, like, I shouldn't have left. But you left, bro. But you left.
I congratulate you for saying it public.
I've done it many times.
I know you have.
Yeah.
But I've never heard an interview with any of those people who were in those cars beyond the right field fence when Kirk Gibson hit his home run.
Right.
Have you ever heard someone be like, yeah, that was me. That was my Chrysler. I left. I left one of the most famous moments in sports history.
Right.
But boy, I made it home 20 minutes before everybody else.
More like 45, dog.
Beat traffic.
I did.
Great.
It was a bad beat of traffic.
If I'm going to go to a game, I'm going to accept traffic. Period. That's part of the deal.
I'm not going to defend myself beyond this point, which is to say that I was doing the morning show at the time, And, you know, it gets late early.
I get it. And you get jaded when you work in the industry. You go to games all the time.
And I was there at the Kinder's barbecue tailgate. And so it had already been a long day. And you get to that point, it's like, all right, win or lose, this game is not going to be a classic. Turns out it might have been.
Maybe it would be. Yeah. 888-957-9570 on sort of like maybe the difference between waking up a Warrior fan today as opposed to waking up a Warrior fan yesterday. Something tangible. What stood out to you? What's your biggest takeaway? It's a huge day. There's a lot to pass along. The San Francisco Giants have formally announced their new manager. It is Tony Vitello from the University of Tennessee, an historic hire. Never before has somebody come from the college ranks with no pro baseball experience, not as a player, not as a coach, not as a manager, and taken over a franchise. The Giants will do it. Vitello did a lengthy podcast with Greg Olsen, the now NFL broadcaster, former tight end, and it is tremendous. You should take the time, if you can, maybe later today to go listen to it. He is a very, very impressive person to listen to. We'll see if that's enough. But he'll get introduced a week from tomorrow over there at Oracle Park. So there's that to talk about. Also, Kyle Shanahan did just speak as the practice week gets started for the 49ers as they go to Houston this week. And here's the update there. Brock Purdy did practice, but it was, again, limited. There's also a new Diana Russini report that Brock worked out on the field before Sunday Night Football against the Falcons, and it reportedly didn't feel too well. So nothing definitive on who the starting quarterback is, but it very much, like, you can very much put Mac Jones into the favorite role in terms of who is likely to start this weekend. And then the two other headliners, Ricky Pearsall, still not practicing.
Yeah, no surprise.
So there was maybe a tiny bit of hope expressed that he might get back out there tomorrow. Kyle did say it's just not going as fast as we'd hoped. Did not call it a setback. D'Amador Lenore apparently dealing with something muscular on the lower body, a quad, and he did not practice today either. So just go ahead and put their checks notes. Only experienced defensive player. And make him hurt, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think that if you're going to have your corner out, this would most likely be the time to have that be the case. You've got a quarterback who's been shaky, and Nico Collins is not all the way back at 100%. So if you're going to have D'Amador Lenore out, this might be the week. But the Ricky Pearsall one, to me, is very predictable, and I'm a little surprised they didn't put him on IR. Maybe it's because they don't have a lot of those spots left of IR to come back to return.
I think they've got enough.
Have two more. According to what I've looked at, you only get eight. And if you look at who they've had on there, George Kittle's been on there and he's back. Malik Mustafa's been on there and he's coming back.
That doesn't count. He was pup list. So that's preseason.
Okay.
That doesn't count as an IR designation.
So if you look at the other IR designated to return.
Nor does Ayuk.
Right, yeah, he was on the pup list, but I do think that when you had that many, you had six on there, IR hoping to have them return, and so as you get deeper into that, maybe you don't want to use one of those spots, but Ricky Pearsall with a PCL, you think about last year Christian McCaffrey, PCL, he missed basically 2 months.
Yeah, but the PCL came late in the season, and it was a lost season and all of those things. I mean, I can only take them at their word. They sounded like they thought he was going to be back in a couple of weeks.
And Diana Rossini thought that they'd both be back this week, and they both probably won't be back this week.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I mean, if we want to talk about her reports are her reports, but she doesn't know.
Well,
nobody knows.
Neither do they.
Right.
I mean, her reports are what they're telling her. The 49ers had circled week 8 for Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall, and I think they need an eraser. Hopefully they circled it in pencil and not Sharpie, or else then you got to do that annoying thing where you cross it all out and the whole piece of paper just looks like crap.
Yep.
You don't want to do that.
Nope.
Do people use whiteout anymore? Is that still a thing, or is everything so digital that nobody's writing anything on an actual piece of paper anymore?
Whiteout still exists, but it's very rare that you actually use it. Yeah. You either go with the scribble, or if it's an official document, then you go ahead and like reprint it, or you do what you can do.
We'll have some of this Kyle Shanahan sound here shortly, but today is mostly reacting to what happened last night. Golden State Warriors off to just a jamming start. They win in L.A. by double digits. I wouldn't call it a blowout, but a game they controlled from the beginning to the end. And I thought that you could just sprinkle all kinds of things that are pretty exciting to see. I don't want to get too far into like shooting percentages and stuff because it's like one game. But I look at it more in terms of like, okay, what are the Warriors offering? And I think that last night is a reminder that this team has two superstars. And I really do think that we've forgotten this. We really have forgotten it. Everybody through the offseason got stuck on two things. One was obvious, all of the drama and the negotiations surrounding Jonathan Kuminga. And two, the Warrior age. The age is what it is, and that'll play out over time, and they're going to have to manage it and have a plan and all that. What I think has really been under-discussed is how much talent is on this team. You have two legit superstars. And then there's a bunch of the question marks that get thrown in, such as, can Jonathan and the team meet in the middle and find that stride of playing the way they want him to play? Last night was a wonderful start. I was reminded of the way Buddy Hield started last year, where he was absolutely on fire. Happened again. I find the Warriors to be damn near unbeatable when Buddy Hield shoots the ball like that. And then, okay, Dibs, your guy, Will Richard,
yep,
was a real positive, obviously in just little sprinkles out there on the court, but he looks like he's advertised, which is a player that comes out of college with a lot of basketball experience and therefore just brings smarts to the court and some ability right away.
And your plus-minus army out there, he was a minus 11. So if you want to go ahead.
Will?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, minus 11. I mean, he had a couple of great plays. He had a great steal. He had a catch-and-shoot bucket where it was an air ball, and he was there. I just thought that watching him, he looked like somebody who belonged. He didn't ever have that feeling of like, oh boy, this is too big for me. It's the opening night. It's prime time. I'm on Peacock. Now I'm on NBC. I've never been on NBC before. No one ever has in our career. He just looked like a guy who belonged. And, you know, Steve Kerr obviously liked him enough to play him 13 and a half minutes more than GP2. So I do think that he's going to get more minutes and more of a chance to go out there and show himself. But for me, the biggest part is what you're talking about, where it's Jimmy Butler. Whether or not you have two stars or not, Steph Curry was able to kind of just like, not Netflix and chill, but all right, Steph, we need you to come here and kind of save us with the big three. Okay, boom, big three, we're up 10, night-night, game over.
Yeah.
But by and large, it was kind of Jimmy carrying the water all night.
It absolutely was, and then he was, along with Draymond, the ones who had to be entered back into the game late. I think Steve was hoping to put the whole thing on ice. Lakers made a little bit of run, happens in the NBA, whatever. Okay, Draymond, Jimmy, go back in there. And the second they did, they put a stop to it right away. Draymond with that corner three, I thought kind of was like what restabilized the whole thing, and it was just kind of cruise control from there. Take a listen to a lot of this, though, because honestly, I don't know what your number one takeaway was. My number one takeaway, and maybe this sounds like a stupid media thing to say, but I was actually so impressed with everything that happened after the game. The game itself was great. The Warriors played, I think, a team that they're better than, and they won. It was sloppy at times, but whatever. They led by, I think, Kuminga and their main stars at the start of the third quarter. They were fantastic, and they took a one-point lead and knocked it to double digits right away, and then it pretty much stayed there. I thought that was where they won the game. But what I loved is what I heard after the game. And I know these are just words, but to me it spoke to an overall connectivity to where this team is right now. And I think that's what we spent most of the summer actually worrying about, which is how through all of this do you find a way on opening night to be on the same page? Jonathan wants to be a one. He's going to be mad at the way this all went. How do you find that sort of peaceful existence where everybody, because I'm a firm believer in this, on the team needs to be pushing in the same direction. Didn't you feel like you heard that? And I felt it genuine. I mean, here's Jonathan on rebounding.
The rebound part, it's just been a goal I've been speaking to my people. Just myself, I was trying to set a goal and just be a rebounder as much as I can. No matter how my game is going on offense and defense, just making sure, just impacting on that side of the game, just being a great rebounder. And I'll say assist-wise, it's just the game has slowed down so much. Just things I'm reading way better compared to, you know, before or my past. So, you know, just letting the game come to me easily, not trying to force a lot of things and just reading how people playing against me or, you know, how we're moving on the court with different people on the floor, with Steph, with Jimmy, Draymond, with Buddy, just pretty much everybody on the team and learning how they're moving. And I think it's one of the things I kind of went through over summertime, watching a lot of films, just working on playing without the ball, with the ball, using certain people as Jimmy, Steph, just focusing on how to play with those people and just working on my own basketball pace. And I think that's kind of helped me throughout the summer. That's what helping me out there to just see the game even better.
Jonathan is not in the Yoda space. You know the famous quote from Yoda, there is no try, do or do not. We're not there yet. I think that's part of it. It's professional sports. You can't go out there and just be like, but I'm trying. But I think that that's at least step one, isn't it? Step one is to both hear and see Jonathan say the things and do the things that the organization wanted him to do. And I felt in the first half, you could see the effort. You're still making some mistakes in, as far as decisions and shot selection. And then in the second half, you saw someone who nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. That's step one as far as the Warriors having another high-level weapon, I think.
Well, and I do believe that if he is your number four weapon, to use your word, then you have a chance to really be something special, because last night he had 9 rebounds, and last year he only had 4 games where he got 9 rebounds. And I do want to tip the cap to his agent, Aaron Turner, for the most awkward statement of his hour-long interview with Stein and Guru, which was, you know, if he gets the minutes, he's going to rebound. And so far, through one game, he's not wrong. Yeah, he got the minutes, and he did rebound. I'm going to package it that way. I'm going to do it because Kuminga got the minutes, and he got the rebounds. And I do think that whether or not it was the minutes that he got, he definitely looked engaged from the jump, and he got the start, and he got the minutes. And even though in his opening 8 or 9 minutes, it was a little bit sloppy. They all were sloppy. And he had a couple of shots that you probably don't really want him to take, but it's the first quarter of game one. So go out there and, you know, try to get your way into it. He had one that he got into the key and he spun and he pulled up from 13 and he was double teamed and it was just an absolute brick. But other than that, I thought that he was mostly good. And his 2 turnovers in the first half, one was when he saved the ball under the Lakers basket, and he had to throw it to somebody, and he threw it to the Lakers. That's a turnover. And the other one was where he got an offensive rebound, and he was double-teamed under the basket, and he was not strong enough, and he just straight lost it. Those were his 2 turnovers. They weren't like, I'm in here, and I leave my feet, and I have nowhere to go to. They were, I think, for me anyway, normal, aggressive-type turnovers that you can live with.
Grandy, you said you got a tweet from his agent last night?
Yeah, Aaron Turner, at ArockTurner20, right as the game ended, tweeted, "Trust the work," 2 exclamation points.
Okay. That's not a bothersome thing to say. If there was
He's about to get a follow from me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, trust the work, A-Rock.
Let him know that he's going to get muted 6 days later, because that's how you operate.
I don't work with him, so he won't be muted.
He will be. If he tweets too much, he will be.
We'll see.
Yeah. As long as I don't mind any of that. That's good. Like, what I wouldn't, when you told me there was a tweet and you wanted to read it, I was like, this better not sound like I told you so. There better not be any I told you so
minutes
in this tweet.
Minutes equal rebounds. Hashtag let JK eat. Like, that would bother you more than, you know.
He also retweeted one of Anthony Slater's tweets last night, post-game, talking about Draymond complimenting Kuminga in his play.
I think we have that right here, do we not?
His performance was great. That rebound is what everyone in the world has been waiting to see. You know, you got that athleticism. You go make big plays like that. You got superstar potential. You go make big plays. Those are game-winning plays. What did we get? 2 free throws out of that? Like, Those are game-winning plays, you know. And so, you know, we all can ask for opportunity. When you ask for opportunity, you must deliver. And I think he's been very vocal about his opportunity, and he delivered. And so, you know, when you see a guy that's willing to put their neck on the line and be vocal, and then they deliver, you also must reward them. Because if they don't, you tear them down. That's just naturally what happens. If you be vocal and you don't deliver, you get torn down. So when you're vocal and you go deliver the way he did all night, he was guarding Luka all night.
You know what that just made me think of?
Don't even say it, because I thought the same thing.
Say it for me.
Andrew Wiggins.
No.
In the playoffs.
No. Deebo Samuel Thursday night against the Rams last year.
Oh, wow.
Vocal about opportunity, and then you don't deliver, you're going to get torn down.
I was thinking about Andrew Wiggins when he had double-digit rebounds in the playoffs, and they all said, man, did you see that? That rebounds. Andrew, I mean, that's what Andrew can do. That's what I heard from the beginning of the Draymond quote right there.
Well, I would love what I saw from Jonathan last night in the second half. I would love for that to be labeled cooking. Can we do that? That is cooking. The whole let JK cook thing is, I think, emblematic of the wrong way to play basketball. Let JK have the ball in the wing and then let him shake it. And then just shake and bake. And then we're going to go to the rack and then we're going to ha. Like, that's not basketball. That's not winning basketball. Man, he was good in the second half last night. Good Lord, because the whole thing, all of them, was within the framework of what the team was trying to do, and it leads to easy buckets. And you hear Draymond, like, Draymond's fired up about a rebound. He's not fired up about 17 points. He's fired up about a rebound because it's a winning play. And Jonathan is doing it, man. So I don't know, like, it's one night, but on one night, didn't you go to bed last night and feel like, I think they all got to each other? I think somebody heard somebody. And that's all the whole thing has been waiting for, right?
Yeah, basically. And you heard Jimmy Butler talk about how, you know, he and JK have spent time and how he's going to mentor him and all the rest of it. And if that's really the way that's going to go, if he did what he did in the summer and he gets his deal and then he missed out on Jimmy Butler's San Diego wine cellar vibe and all the rest of it, but that's okay. You get all into camp and Jimmy goes, hey, JK, come here. Let me tell you what I think you should do. And that's it.
Jimmy Butler last night.
I just want to help.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
JK be great. He's got so much like just raw talent, and he's so aggressive. He's athletic. He's super smart, and I'm trying to teach him a little bit of what I see throughout the game. And we've been, you know, kicking it, hanging out, watching film, and just working on our game together after practice, before practice, during practice. I know how great he wants to be and how great he can be. So it's now my job to help him fulfill that.
Ooh, and that's where I got to admit that I was wrong this summer when I was worried about the ability for these guys to all wrap each other up in a sleeping bag and like be okay, go camping together, man. Like just let the whole thing get wrapped up into the Warrior culture. We're one night in, but I'm hearing all the things you would hope to hear from Jonathan, from Steve, from Jimmy, from Draymond. And then you also get a sprinkle in of all the light stuff. Buddy hates Jimmy.
Yep.
Jimmy's betting on himself against Steph.
Doesn't, I like that.
Steph doesn't even know that the bet's happening. The bet's with Draymond. Jimmy and Steph both go out. If you didn't hear, by the way, Jimmy has a bet with Draymond that he can have a higher percentage from the free throw line this year than Steph. Steph catches wind of it, says there's no chance he's going to win that. They're both shooting 100% after last night.
Yep.
Like, that's what you want. How easy is it to root for that group?
It's easy, and Jimmy kind of made a guru bet because the better bet would have been, I'm going to make more free throws than you. Because he's not going to have a higher percentage than Steph.
He's allowed
Jimmy
to.
Shoots about 84%, but Jimmy's going to get more shot attempts from the foul line.
That's true.
The better bet would be, I'm going to make more than you, Steph Curry. That's a real bet.
No, you let him know. Maybe there's still time to adjust it.
Yeah.
That's going to be up to Day-Day.
It's going to be up to Steiny, who refuses to amend a bet, but that's fine.
Oh, well, I get it. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Greg Cosell in 20 minutes, Steve Kerr in 2 hours. Your phone calls next. What stood out to you? How do you feel differently this morning as opposed to yesterday morning as a Warrior fan? 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.